This has been an interesting week of pro wrestling, to say the least. Tom, it's Tim and Tom here. For anybody not watching us live, you know, that's okay. We still love you and we appreciate you, podcast listeners or on-demand viewers, as it were. But we're going to talk about last night's AEW Dynamite, and that brings a lot of hot topics, right? Tom, I mean, we've got some other stuff to get to, right? But what, like,
yeah, other stuff to get to. The Royals just swept their last home stand against the Houston Astros. I tell you what, get on the bandwagon now, you cocksuckers, because we're going straight to the moon. The Royals are frisky. The Royals are frisky. We might not win it all, but you know what? We're going to be more entertaining than the fucking Red Sox. So get on board, assholes, because we're going to the moon. That's my hot take. That's the only thing to talk about, right?
Yeah, Royals. Like, that's, I think the Royals are the only interesting thing that happened on television, right?
Bobby Witt Jr. had two home runs today. Yesterday, Vinny Pescatino had five RBIs. Come on.
Not that the Royals would actually play on television in the local area this week. But you know,
guess what? I could watch it, but for whatever reason, it was only in Spanish.
Baseball, that's one thing I wish they would get figured out. This idea that, like, they try to gatekeep the games away from casual viewers.
Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred.
That's really weird.
That's really weird. You think, you know, for all these, let's get into the wrestling talk, but I'll tie it back into this and then we'll move on. For anyone who thinks that, like, Tony Khan doesn't know how to do shit, go look at Rob Manfred. He's fucking objectively worse in all categories. Yeah. And he runs baseball.
You know,
you can't fuck up baseball, you think.
Similar topic. We are the All Elite Wrap Up. Tim and Tom here. Look, if you're just now tuning into us because AEW might be a hot topic, we are the All Elite Wrap Up because Tom and I particularly only really like watching All Elite Wrestling as a regular thing week over week. It's all really we have time for. It's what we like the most. So we spend our time watching that. We like to talk about it here. We like to basically wrap up All Elite for the week and talk to fans that also like it. We were never really particularly interested in outright hating WWE, but if you ask us about it, we'll tell you what we think sucks about it, right? And we will get into some of that tonight based on how these conversations are going to unfold. But I'm interested in thinking, kind of similar to what we were talking about with baseball and gatekeeping people away, like the casual fan, WWE is moving to Netflix, right? Like, they're taking that whole thing off regular TV. I'm interested to see, like, how that goes. Are people, because, like, you know what I mean? That's going to be interesting. I mean, look, they obviously have been successful forever, so I'm not going to tout that, like, they're making any kind of dumb moves, right? But, like, it'll be interesting to see how that works out, right? What also is interesting, we've got folks in the chat. We've got Jeffrey Sill says, what up, boys? I'm just going to say hi, and yeah, Dynamite. The matches were good. Theo P75 says, Tony Khan is doing a decent job running AEW. Get off him. We love you in the chat. If you're watching us live, we typically go live each week Thursday nights right here on the YouTube. Check us out at alleliterapup.com for more details, right? All of our links, all the things are there. It is a free subscription there at alleliterapup.com. But one thing that we love to do also is give the floor to you, the fans, right? Tom, unless you had anything that you needed to
get. No, let's do it. No, we got a lot to talk about, so let's do it. Do it to it.
You can contact us in a myriad of ways. We have an email called aewrapup@gmail.com. We love you to send an email. Type it out. Record yourself on a phone talking to us, a video or audio. Send it to us, and we'll play it here and discuss what you are wanting to talk about. It does not have to be AEW. Just a reminder, we don't follow anything else regularly, right? So we may not know the most, but if you have interesting questions, we love to talk about it and play it. We are decades-long viewers of WWE, so we do have some historical knowledge. Now, we've got a great call. Our senior European correspondent, Ash Hendricks, has sent in a call, and we're going to play it right now.
What's up, gentlemen? It's me. We got a lot of stuff to get into. I'm probably going to send two clips, but, you know, I wanted to get this first one in because I meant to send this, like, days ago, but I haven't. But, yeah, first things first, Tim, I think you said your daughter had a birthday last week, so happy birthday to her. I didn't get the chance to say that, so I hope, you know, she had a great day, and I hope you all had a great day as a family and all this nonsense anyway. Anyway, okay, all the nice shit out of the way, let's get into it. Oh, wait, no, actually, no, wait, T-Mac, 300 is this weekend. I have Jamal Hill, I have Wei Lee, I've got Max. Well, no, I've got Justin Gaethje, but I'm hoping for Max. I've got Charles. I've got Bo Nickel. I've got Jiri Prochazka. I've got Aljamain. I've got Kayla Harrison, if she can make the weight and the fight still goes on. I've got Diego Lopez. I've got Cody Garbrandt. Although that, oh, actually, I don't know about that one. His chin is still sus. I'm thinking Cody might do it, but we'll see. I've got Bobby Green, I've got Jessica Andrade, and I've got Moicano. That is my official predictions for UFC 300. We'll see if I'm right, which I'm usually not, so that's fine. But let's get into it then, yeah? So we'll go with WrestleMania. We're going to start with WrestleMania first, yeah? I think sometimes as wrestling fans, we need to like turn off the brain and just enjoy what's put in front of us, no matter how stupid the stuff can be, right? And I know coming from me, who like the guy that likes to complain, I feel like I complain on this show all the time. But yeah, coming from me, that sounds hypocritical. But I try and do that when I can, and I try and do that for every WrestleMania. And I say that to say this, that I did enjoy it, but when I was watching some stuff back, I was like, okay, I didn't enjoy this as much as I thought I would. You know what I mean? I think the talks of it saying being the greatest WrestleMania of all time is complete bullshit. You know what I mean? As someone who yearly watches WrestleMania 17, 19, and then maybe every couple years we'll watch WrestleMania 31 over again. I don't think WrestleMania 40 is anywhere near close to any of those. But I can understand the relevance in terms of crowd attendance, and then, you know, Vince potentially being fucking gone for good. Although, you know, we'll fucking see about that, won't we? And, yeah, I can see the why people would say it's the best WrestleMania, but it's not. If it's based on in-ring work, it's not. I felt like the ladder match was probably the worst ladder match of all time. That's a shame. That's my favorite gimmick match. I usually enjoy watching ladder matches, but I thought that was kind of poor. You know, when your comedy guy is getting the biggest pop of the match for doing a hot tag, you know you're doing something, you know, you fucked up there. You know what I mean? I felt like the Usos match was very, very disappointing considering all of the build, and considering they've said in the past that this was their dream match for them. I feel like they really dropped the fucking ball there. I loved the main event. Like, it was wacky, it was overbooked, it was nonsense, but I loved every second of it. I can't complain, I can't lie. I'm happy that Cody won the belt and Roman's reign is done. Like, I'm not a Cody fan or anything like that. I still think he's a huge nerd. But, you know what I mean? You know, it was a good moment for him. You know what I mean? Roman had to drop the belt at some point. I was getting a little bit bored of that run. So that was pretty cool. You know, what else was there? Because you know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of gone out of my head a couple days removed. A lot of it's kind of gone out of my head. I think Jay Cargill hasn't progressed as a performer just yet, but obviously these things take time. But, you know, sooner rather than later at this point, you know what I mean? Come on, man. You gotta start doing your end of the bargain there, Jay, darling. What else was there, bro? Fucking the cash in. Yeah, Drew McIntyre and Seth was really good. Seth is going to take some time away. That sucks now. That was cool. The cash in, whatever. That's okay. Fine. I'm not a big Damian Priest guy, but you know, he had that fucking briefcase for forever. So he needs to get rid of that. You know what I mean? And I guess it works for Drew's character now, because now he's just an angrier, Scottishier version of himself. So that's cool. But that's all the stuff that stuck out from my head. I do think people saying that it's the greatest WrestleMania of all time have definitely gassed it. But yeah, the people that I know that went did have a good time, and it was certainly expectable, and it's got people talking, so that's cool. But a bit overrated, I think. But we'll see what's going on then. We'll see what's going on moving forward. I feel like if they're really serious about this new era, that they need to start really like killing it on their weekly shows, because Raw was just as mid as it always has been. Okay, right. I'm on 5 minutes on this clip now. All right, I'm gonna end this one here. I have to go to work like right now. I'm literally running late. So I'm gonna come back home, watch AEW, and then we're gonna talk about whatever the fuck this footage is, and then we'll go from there. All right, see you later, boys.
We did not get the clip in time for a second clip, so maybe we'll talk to Ash next week about whatever the fuck this footage was, as he so eloquently put it. And WrestleMania, look,
Let me go first, because this will get it out of the way, because we always like to do UFC quick picks, so I'll just tell you real quick.
Yeah, I forgot he did some UFC stuff.
Yeah, right. I got Cody No Love, Jim Miller, Jessica Andrade, Moicano, Diego Lopez, Kayla Harrison, Aljamain Sterling, Yuri, and then I've got Bo Nickel, of course, Charlotte Chucky Olives. Then I got Max Holloway as the upset, Wei Li, and then I got Alex Pereira in the main event. So that's my UFC 300 bullshit. 300, now let's talk about WrestleMania. Tim, what did you think about WrestleMania?
So I didn't watch any WrestleMania, and I know in this day and age, people, we said this last week, they want to treat me like I'm making a statement by saying that, but I'm not. I just don't particularly like WWE for a myriad of reasons, which we don't need to talk about here, I guess, on the All Elite wrap-up, but I did follow along. Like, I saw results, obviously, right? Social media, as we said, like, you're not going to not see it, right? So I saw what was happening as it was happening, and I just thought, yeah, okay, right? I think what a lot of people I heard say that don't say it's the greatest of all time is that, like, based on what storylines were happening, these results all seem very predictable. And then everybody seemed to talk about the great main event, which I thought was just a series of run-ins that even didn't really even do anything. They were a bunch of run-ins to stare at each other by and large, right? So I don't know, man. Again, it's not my bag. It's not my flavor of ice cream, and we're going to talk a lot more about that today. But I didn't watch it, and I kind of didn't like it, and I certainly didn't think by what I saw from the clips that I would have categorized it as a top or as the best of all time. I'm also not that kind of dude, right? But, you know, I wouldn't even put it in one of those tiers. But also, I think some of that takes time, right? You can't necessarily say it after. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you think? I know you watched some of it, yeah?
I gave in, right? Curiosity killed the cat, as they say. And so I watched because I'm addicted to pro wrestling, and I felt like I wasn't a part of the conversation. So I wanted to see what the whole spectacle was. So my initial thought was, this is the most corporate thing I've ever seen in my life. There were Slim Jim commercials. You had someone, I can't even remember now. I think it was maybe LA Knight celebrating a victory, and like this hard fought victory. And it was next to a dude wipes, which, by the way, if you don't know what dude wipes are, it's just a fucking towel to put on your nutsack. Fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of felt cheapened by the moment. That Prime bottle, look, WCW Nitro has had advertisements. AEW has had advertisements, but they put it away from the middle of the ring. When Cody goes to kiss the fucking mat, he's kissing Prime. Like, it looks stupid. So I thought it was very corporate. I thought it was overly done. It felt icky. It felt like I was watching more of wrestlers tell me about sponsors than it was about a pro wrestling show. With that being said, it also, also kind of felt like it followed a format both nights. You had opening match, fun. Then you had fun little nonsense match, like the Philly street fight. And then, like, Ash said, the ladder match, right? Just fill time, get some fun ha-has, and let's get in and get out. And then to his point about Jade Cargill, you know, I think this is what one of the problems I thought we would have with her is, was she ever the best wrestler? And that's why we hired her from AEW to WWE. No. However, in AEW, regardless of her wrestling abilities, kind of like a Goldberg or an ECW formula, it's where you push the positives and hide the negatives. Yeah. She was treated like a star. In this,
she stood out.
In this, she's just standing with others. And if you don't have the wrestling ability, well, then who the fuck cares, right? And so I didn't really like that presentation of Jade Cargill. On top of that, none of the matches were all-time bangers. I think it was very predictable. I thought Sami Zayn beating Gunther, we all kind of knew. Cody beating Roman, we all knew. And you know, one thing is to be said about the story needs to end appropriately. For example, let's go back to AEW. Hangman Adam Page needed to beat Kenny Omega at the pay-per-view for the world championship. Okay, great, awesome. Yes. So I'm not trying to say, like, WWE is so predictable.
Yeah, all like at some point the Acclaimed had to win the tag team titles, yes, right? Like, there was a moment where things had to happen. Mm-hmm.
All wrestling promotions had to have the logical conclusion, which I do not fault WWE or anyone else for.
The friendship wins. Remember?
Yeah. Like it was, well, that actually was shocking.
I mean, eventually I went further, but at that moment, that felt like, oh, you know what I mean? Like we were sometimes it was like, now that wasn't the logical conclusion. That was a shock, I guess. Yeah.
So here's the most interesting thing, though, that I think from the fallout of WrestleMania and even to Ash's point about the Raw after Mania, and we haven't seen the SmackDown after Mania, so we'll see what that looks like because that's on Fox Network TV, so they might even go harder on that. But this is where you got, okay, right? Roman's no longer the guy. That's what we wanted. We wanted this guy. Don't tell me why because I don't know. Fun fact, I didn't even like him in AEW, so it's not like a thing like I'm hating Cornball Cody all of a sudden that he's got to WWE. Ever since he solved racism, never liked the motherfucker as far as a character. Human, he's probably fine. But now, come through, right? Because the only thing I saw after that was an awkward, let's hold each other's belts. I'm The Rock, you're Cody. Let's hold belts. And pause. Mess me with this bullshit of, dude, you know what's a callback to 2011? Fuck you. Fuck you. First off, if it is a callback, no one fucking cared. Second, if you did tell me about it, it's fucking lame. And three, when the crowd chants, this is awkward, maybe you're not doing the right fucking thing. Okay? Now, Cody, it's your turn, right? Mr. America, Mr. I solve racism, Mr. Hey, everyone, I cry when I mention my dad's name. Fucking here you go. So let's see it, right? You've always wanted to be the man. Now we're saying, let's do it. Are you going to be the man like John Moxley was the man in AEW? Or are you going to be the man like Drew McIntyre was after WrestleMania 36? We're going to find out. And I just want to know what we're going to all say when we're tired of Cody. Oh, Cody's overexposed. Blah, blah, blah. You fuckers wanted it. You fuckers wanted a cornball nut job, as far as a character, again, not judging the human, as your fucking guy. So have fun. Have fun. I'll stick with my hero, who's Hangman Adam Page, and I know he's heel. I don't give a fuck. He's still my hero. I'm going to go with my hero, Eddie Kingston. He is my fucking hero. I'm going to go with my hero, Mark Briscoe. That's a hero. You can have Cody. Fucking take him. Cool. Take that guy.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what the draw is to him, right? Like, I know, like, numbers, you know, people love to throw numbers and say numbers don't lie, but, like, I still question why, though. Like, you know, I still want to know why if 80% of all wrestling fans are watching WWE and liking Cody, I still need an answer as to why. Like, this is the most vanilla nothing. And like you said, that was the turning point for me, too, was the solved racism speech. It was like, this guy is up here pontificating, like portraying this like deep thinking intellectual individual and is saying nothing, right? It was actually providing nothing of substance. And I was like, oh, this guy's a fucking tryhard, right? Like this guy. Mm-hmm. And it comes through. And that's where, like, when people are like, finish the story, it was like, bro, that story was already finished in my mind. He was the least charismatic, entertaining of the Rhodeses. I would have rather watched Dustin Rhodes finish the fucking story. Like, it's just weird. I don't get the attraction to him.
Well,
and yeah, are we going to put him on the Tonight Show? Like, Cena at least was a witty guy. You put him in a room, he actually might have been the coolest guy in the room still, right? Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns had that aura, walked in the room, looked like the mm-hmm. coolest guy in the room. Cody, man, he's a cornball, man. I mean, Fallon's got his work in for him trying to make this guy, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, charming. I don't know.
And I guess, you know, I said this weeks ago, and I don't want to harp on it, but I still never understood what the story was. You wanted to be champ. Your dad wasn't able to be champ. Okay, how about Jey Uso? Jey Uso had to fucking fall in line, have his cousin manipulate him for years, got pressed down then by his brother and his other brother and then his cousin. That's, if you're talking about stories, that's the story.
That was the story of Sami Zayn. That's who should Sami have Zayn. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you didn't want to say Jey Uso because of whatever, right? He's more of a tag right. brother. Sami Zayn being the tryhard. That's a good phrase. The tryhard to fit in with the bloodline. Then he finally does. Then he starts getting confidence, and then they say we don't fucking like that. Then they kick him. Well, he kicks himself out because he got put into a situation yeah. where friendship wins. That's a bet. Like, so the Cody story was, oh, my daddy, fucking, I bet you, Carmella's daddy when he wanted to be a wrestler, wanted to be champ. She didn't fucking say, oh, my daddy wanted to be champ, so I got to finish the story. You know how many fucking wrestlers who parents wrestled nowadays? Like, it's not... I get it.
Well, and look, this is Dusty another
Rhodes
example,
is Dusty
though.
Rhodes, but like, get the fuck on.
Well, but this is another example, right? So, like, let's zoom in on it, right? The story, right? The story is, well, you know, the Rhodes, he said this all along. Like, you guys fucking painted my dad up, made him dance, right? You made my brother look ridiculous, right? And all this, and like, and none of them ever got the whole title. Like, I'm back here to finish the story. And now everybody's like, oh, I finished the story. Remember when you were talking about the women's revolution? Everybody was, and you were like sick at WWE being like, look how great we are with this women's revolution. Like, we're finally giving them, you know, letting them break through the glass ceiling. You were like, the glass ceiling that you fucking put in place, that yeah. you held in place for way too fucking long. And now yeah. people are like, oh my God, they finished the story. They finally gave him the title. Like, yeah, they fucking kept it from his family and embarrassed his family left and right. And now mm-hmm. he's just there like, thank you, everybody. Let me kiss you, Triple H and Nick. It's the weirdest fucking thing to me. It's the weirdest energy yeah. and flex that I can, it's odd to me. It really is odd and I don't get it. And we're going to get some nerds in the, you know what I mean? In the fucking comments, hey. But like, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, then also tell me this too, about him finishing the story. Those motherfuckers didn't want him to finish the story. It was the Rock.
I know.
And it was yeah. the We Want Cody stuff. So him at the end to bring out Bruce Pritchard, which what the fuck? And then Triple H did not want yeah. you there. He did not want you in that spot. To then be like, this is the move. Shut up. And then all the other baby faces just standing there. You had Randy Orton, who is the Viper, just standing there like, yay, that's my guy, Cody. Ha ha ha. And Cena with his balding spot. Now I'm just being mean here. But what I'm getting at is like, it wasn't warranted. Another thing, last thing I will say. Again, let's stay in kayfabe. What fucking adversity did he experience besides losing to Roman Reigns last year? He won right. every fucking thing going into that Roman Reigns match, lost it, okay, and then won every fucking thing after it, and then beats Roman Reigns, and we act like he overcame like Daniel Bryan. Get the fuck on.
But I also want to know, like, okay, I like, whatever happened with the, you know, the Rock and it's the Undertaker, right? And like, maybe that was supposed to be Stone Cold, and maybe he couldn't do it, maybe they didn't want it, maybe they were like, oh, but that, even if the call was like, let's put the Undertaker in there, that felt like that was a last minute decision because the dude was hanging out in his fucking like civilian clothes hoodie, right? Like, if that was planned as part of the magical storyline, they would have done the entire get up. You know what I mean? So again, like, it screamed to me, no, this was pieced together at an ill-timed, you know, decision mm-hmm. to just, oh, and add that. And so to me, I'm done with it.
Yeah. So that was a great contribution from our European international correspondent, mm-hmm, yeah. Ash, uh-huh, as yeah. always, love to hear nailed from it. Him. If you would like to become a contributor to the All Elite Wrap Up, you can contact us via email, hit us up on Threads. You can hit me and Tim up directly. We'll respond, tell you the best ways to go about it. We'll take an email, voice, as you just heard from Ash, any other kind of media that you got, but obviously let's not go 7 to 10 minutes on, you know, rambling, and we will put it on the show. But with that being said, let's move it on to AEW Dynamite.
Yeah, well, before we hit that, let's hit the chats, right? We've got Theo saying, I can't wait till Cody Rhodes is doing promos about driving backwards in the opposite direction of traffic to barely make it to Raw. Jeffrey Sill said, Supercard of Honor had 3 better matches than all of WrestleMania. I need to go watch mm-hmm. it. I haven't seen any of Supercard of Honor.
Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe.
Yeah, I bet there's some awesome shit in there. Jeffrey Sill says, let's see how long it takes to put the belt on Gunther or Rock. Oh, man. Oh, no. And then Gunther, Theo says, ugh, now. Then Theo says, ugh, now I don't feel bad about pirating their streams if they do. Allegedly. So, yes, we're here because we are the All Elite Wrap-Up. We, that's a show we actually like to watch, and we want to talk about it with our friends. So here we are, Tom. What did we get into? Anything interesting happen on AEW?
Yeah, let's get right to it because we all know what we're going to be talking about. So it feels weird to kind of do it chronological. Now, what we'll say here on the front end is we're going to talk about the main talking point from AEW Dynamite last night, and then we will go into chronological order. So just to let you know, we will follow the format to a certain degree. However, The big talking point was the Young Bucks revealed the footage of the backstage fight between CM Punk and Jack Perry, Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Still don't know exactly what we're calling him. Let's just say Jack Perry. And let's talk about, I guess, initially the video that you saw, that I saw, that we all saw. Then we'll talk a little bit about kayfabe and how some things didn't tie together. But let's just talk about the video itself. Tim, what are your initial thoughts on the backstage video fight between Punk and Jack Perry?
I didn't think we were actually getting this, right? I thought the wording was carefully worded to like lean into the Young Bucks trolling us and showing some other backstage footage. So interesting that we got it. I'll say that. I'll say it confirmed what I already assumed, and it showed to me that Punk doesn't regulate his emotions well. Picks bad times to go fucking be an aggressive asshole about things and resorts to physical violence when somebody doesn't back down and like act intimidated in his presence. And that's what happened, clearly, for the second time in a goddamn year at his workplace. And he got fired for it. And man, you know, we'll talk about the fallout, I guess, from it. But that was my thought from the video, was like, yeah, that's clear. And it kind of showed like everything we've been saying, like everything he ever says about like something that happened in the past is never anywhere close to really. It's all uber like unknown, like just not even based in reality. The guy never takes accountability for anything at all, right? Anything at all. And that was all evidence from this video, is how I felt about it.
Yeah. My initial thought was, it felt weird to get that upset about a comment that you have to know it to know what Jack Perry was even talking about. Even if you're like, hey, that motherfucker was talking about me. It was not as if Jack Perry said, hey, CM Punk, cry me a river, right?
Yeah, he didn't nobody knew, because I didn't know what he meant by it.
Yeah.
When he said it.
You have to be the Dave Meltzers feeding the fucking writers to know what that meant. So that it pissed you off that much is weird, just objectively. Like, I don't believe that you could actually be that thin skinned.
It's weak sauce. It's weak. Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's emotionally weak, dog. Like, fucking grow up.
Yeah. And then on top of that, if we kind of continue with the footage, I thought it was just the way Punk says things. Because here, let me back up. Because I want to kind of articulate my thoughts just a little bit better. I don't understand how people watched that video and came away with the more of a Punk guy than I ever have before.
I know.
Punk was right. Because to the best of my knowledge, and I have mashed potatoes for brains, so by all means, tell me if I'm wrong, but there was never a, we're going to dispute what Punk said. It was just, here's the video, right? If Punk didn't lie, great. Now he's also not a liar, right? Like if he lied, he is a maniac and then he's a liar, right? But he didn't lie. Okay. However,
I mean, he did.
For him, but him to be so nonchalant, like I just did a little this and a little
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not exactly the tone of what you said. And the actions of what you did not match up. And so for anyone to be like, Punk fucking won that one, I don't understand your logic at all. I don't even get it. Like, baseline, I don't understand how you leave watching that video.
Oh, that's because it's faulty logic. That's not, like, again, if we break down logic, again, as an actual trainable, written out fucking thing like math, those don't connect. And that's why you don't get it, because it's not actually connecting.
Yeah. And then also to kind of continue with that, what Punk said and what we saw, you know, he said a line from MMA because he was on Ariel's show where there's a notorious MMA fight between two tough enough coaches, Vanderlei Silva and Chael Sonnen, and they get together through a dispute. Vanderlei Silva does approach into Chael Sonnen's space. Chael Sonnen famously says, I can't let you get close. He pushes him, double legs him, and then they're fighting, right? So in MMA, it's like, I can't let you get close. And it's kind of a fun thing. So that's what CM Punk was referencing in that interview. However, Jack Perry was putting a fucking hair tie in his hair, it looked like, and you pushed him. Okay, because this is the other thing too that I've heard is, well, we didn't hear the audio. Okay, let's just take it on face value. I didn't hear it, right? Let's just assume though that they're both talking shit, right?
Yeah, right.
Or even better, let's assume that Jack Perry is the one that's like, you fucking pussy, you can't do shit, yeah. Da 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 da.
Which
da.
Body language does not suggest the case,
language,
but that's okay.
Didn't say that at right. all. But let's just take your right. fucking term of events, right?
Even though that's a large leap of actual human fucking logic, but okay.
Yes, right. But he pushes him, which would then be the, I can't.
And I don't mean push.
Close.
The motherfucker leaned forward with his hips and fucking extended, tried to push him over. He didn't like yeah. give him a shove. I want this clear. Like he attempted to knock him down.
Right. And so right. he gave the initial shove, right? But then here's where, again, the tone and the actions don't match up. Then he walked him down to push him again, mm-hmm. and then grab his hair. To put him in a right. headlock, and then after being separated, swings, and shocker, he didn't hit him, and fucking misses a punch on Jack Perry.
Yeah.
So, like, again, please someone, if you're a CM Punk guy, or even if you're just pro CM Punk in that situation, please reach out to us. And help me understand how you watched that viewing of a video and thought, Tony Khan, you dumb motherfucker. I don't understand it. It was a nothing burger, right? As a lot of people are saying. However, it proved that AEW was justified in firing the fucking guy. Now, to go on the other side of the coin, one thing that I think we can all agree upon is Tony Khan saying, I feared for my life, was hyperbole. With that being said, let's all remember, he's the son of a billionaire, and I bet you he's never been yelled at. I bet you he pissed himself, and that's why he feared for his life.
So, but here's the thing, right? That, anybody saying that in this, like, tribalism aspect where people are like, oh, that made you fear for your life? When people say something like that, you take one thing that one person said out of this entire complex issue spanning fucking year, right? Mm-hmm. Or years now at this point, you take that one phrase that was said in context in when somebody was replaying an emotional aspect that happened, and you then use that to say, so therefore everything they say and everything they do is discredited, is abuser behavior. That's you. That's you doing that, dog. Anybody that said that ever, that's been like, oh, that made you, that just shows you're a bitch move and this company's dead. That's you. You're an abuser. You probably fucking do that. You probably gaslight your fucking loved ones in arguments. You're probably a bad fucking person. So that's just how it goes. Again, I don't want the people. You reach out to Tom specifically. You don't fucking reach out to me with this to help me see it because it can't be done. He has said that Jack Perry made the first move and he had to retaliate. That's fucking false. He said, even if we're giving him the fucking lie, when he's like, I didn't punch anyone, I just choked someone out a little bit. Even when he's saying that, that's admitting to assaulting somebody in a workplace. And no, I don't give a shit that they're pro wrestlers, because there's rules around that simulated assault, you fucking morons. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. Jesus Christ. What in the fuck is wrong with people in the goddamn head to sit here and say that? Like, so many things can be true at the same time. Yes, it could be run by a bunch of idiots. It's a four-year-old fucking company led by a fucking trust fund baby, you morons. Of course, it's probably run off the rails a little bit. CM Punk knew what he was getting into. He wanted to go there to help them. What he got upset about was when he got there, his idea of helping them was going, you're an idiot. Stop using glass. These morons over here, I work with fucking children. I know a lot of you have had somebody you work with who is right, but they're loud and fucking annoying about it, and they get fucking fired and nothing changes, right? Mm-hmm. That's what fucking CM Punk does every fucking time he gets a job at a wrestling company.
Yeah, and I will say one other thing, too, to kind of talk a little bit about thinking outside the bubble. Because here's a fun exercise that I would challenge any wrestling fan to do. Show that to a non-wrestling fan,
yes.
And then stop the video and then say, what do you think the outcome was, right? Because the thing that I've heard from tough guys is that, well, Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle or Big Show and Great Khali. Here's the thing. just because the standard was set by a Vince McMahon-led company does not mean that's the industry standard
right.
for an entire fucking business. Yeah. That doesn't mean
Vince McMahon is also an unhinged lunatic.
Yeah, so we don't have to adopt his policies to another person's company. So that's the other thing, too, where you're like, well, it's wrestling. The fuck it is. It's
He's also the guy that liked to pay people to shit on other human beings against their goddamn will, allegedly.
Yeah. And even if you're like, well, football players, and they're fine, too. They get fined. Sometimes they get cut.
They get fired.
Like, stop acting. Yeah. So stop acting like, well, it's physical, and so that's what happens. No, no. No, no. No, no. Right?
Right.
I will not. I shouldn't say I will not. I'm being dead serious. I plea anyone that can hear my voice, whether podcast, YouTube, Tim, if you clip this and post it on Threads or our social media accounts, I plea with you. Plea, and I won't attack you. I will listen to you. I will hear you. I want to understand the perspective of what you think made AEW look so stupid in that situation. Here's the last thing I will say about
I've heard plenty of people try to offer that. They just say professionalism and you should only have to pop a ring and all that shit.
I want to hear like the tone of voice. You know what I mean? Like I want to understand, right? But the other thing that I was going to say with that.
Yeah, let's set up a conversation. If it's good enough, we'll air it here, right? We can do it off air. And if you agree as well, then we'll play it here, right?
And that's our offer to somebody. Yeah, and that's the last thing I want to point out. One thing that I still haven't understood is people say, well, so Punk went on Ariel's show and Triple H, which we'll get to, made a comment about Will Ospreay on Pat McAfee's show. They didn't actually do it on Raw and SmackDown. And to that, I would say that's dumb, right? If I want to make a statement or if I want to flex my muscles as a tough guy, I'm not going to go on your podcast to do it. I would do it on mine. So the idea that he should have done it on someone else's platform makes zero sense.
Or just this, WWE also on Ariel Helwani's show might have reached a larger audience via the news for that headline than they would have by just having Punk say that on Raw, right? Like it's a bigger headline that Punk said it in an interview on Ariel Helwani than it is Punk went on Raw and said this because mainstream media will be like, oh, we're not talking about pro wrestling storylines right now, right? So, that was a ploy. That's why they did that, because it did get them more traction doing it that way. That was on purpose.
Well, what I'm saying is airing the footage, right? And that was...
I know. But I'm saying WWE is they're saying it was it's lowbrow to do it on your footage. Like, no. WWE did it so they did it off the show because it would gain more mainstream media attention by doing it off of their fucking show.
And I said one last thing, but I actually want to do one more thing. That's how I do it. Is the other thing that I was going to mention is how, people were like, how would you air that on your own show? If I told anyone, again, listening to this podcast, watching this podcast, or even if I typed it on Threads or even Twitter or Facebook, and I said, hey, guys, I got a fucking link that will show you CM Punk and Jack Perry's fight backstage. Every one of you motherfuckers would write me and DM me, like, send it to me, dude. I got to see it. I want to see it. So now that Tony Khan said, well, here you go. We go, you fucking idiot. He gave us something we wanted to see.
Yeah.
What a shocker. Fucking crazy concept that is. So I don't understand how AEW is made to look stupid in this.
I just also another thing is with the CM Punk specifically and the people's diehard love for this guy, right? Even if we took this incident out, right? All of this stuff and blah, 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 and AEW, when Punk arrived, he for the last 7 years and that year when he arrived was doing nothing but shit talking WWE. I mean, it was it's the place that made me sick. It was go suck a blood money covered dick, you dork, to the Miz, right? Mm-hmm. It was this motherfucker fired me on my wedding day, right? Nothing good to say about them. In fact, a little shit where you're like, Jesus, tone it down, man, right? Like But then this happens, and it's suddenly like, well, I need to go where professionals are. And like, he got upset that, like, things weren't run the way he thought it should be run. But, like, so, okay, so Punk realized he might have been wrong back in the day, right? But we didn't hear that from Punk, right? He didn't say, like, I was wrong about WWE back then, right? Nope, we're just none of that. We're just smiles with the Miz. And we're just like, you don't see him as full of shit. Or if he's not full of shit now because he realized the error of his ways, he was full of shit then. So why was he your hero then? Because that's what you believed in, right? That's why you liked him. He was the voice of the voiceless. He was the one who stood up to the machine. Mm-hmm. But now he's not. So what the fuck is he? He's nothing.
Yeah. And one thing that I think is being lost in that Ariel Helwani interview, at least from my perspective, is CM Punk tells Ariel Helwani, oh, I was having talks with WWE about going back there before I went to AEW. So then if you fast forward to his homecoming AEW speech and how he talked about being, you can't get better if you're still at the poison and stuff. Just take that, right?
Right.
Again, and I get it. We're wrestling, right? So he's Phil Brooks. He's not actually CM Punk. However, that wasn't a, kayfabe promo. That was a shoot the entire time. And he'll tell you that. He fucking knows. Mm-hmm. So if he was having discussions with WWE and then goes and cuts that fucking promo, how are you going to ever truthfully believe him in anything he says moving forward? Like, that was the thing that kind of, you know, not to get a little bit like Cody Rhodes here, but that's the thing that broke my heart more so than the fighting and all that. Because again, you could just be not good with people and you have an anger problem, whatever. But that you said, oh, I was having talks with WWE, but then when they said no, or I said no, and we didn't come to terms, then I'm going to do on my first promo a 20-minute fuck that WWE place. Dude, get. And then continuously, like you said, continuously taking shots throughout his whole 2 years, which is insane. Felt like he was there for 2 years at AEW.
Yeah.
Like you said, Miz, suck the blood, suck he duck.
He unequivocally epitomizes the fucking lyrics of his theme song. He is nothing but a cult of personality, and I don't understand it. And again, I think I'm only left to understand, and you know, maybe you guys have a conversation with Tom, like he's so graciously offering, and he can explain the perspective to me. But no, I don't understand. I think if you see how he doesn't take accountability for anything ever, even though you can see, well, wait a minute, you said this, but now you're saying this, and then we saw this, but like never taking accountability, and see in the workplace and being like, yeah, that person was being annoying. And if Tony Khan would have just handled it, you know, he wouldn't have had to shove people. Like, I'm left to think that's how you want to be. You want to be the type of person that goes around talking people down, talking shit on them, shoving them around, and making them scared of you. And I personally think you're a fuckhole. I think you are the fucking problem. So I guess have at it. Let him be your fucking hero.
Well, and with pro wrestling, let's all be honest, it's also a lot of like, I want to be the tough guy. Are you? No. Right. It's the, I fantasize about, you know, saving the girl that's on the train tracks. And it's like, so have you ever helped anyone when you've seen an actual crime? No, I've hid. It's like, okay, well then shut the fuck up. Right. And I think it's a little bit of that too. But with all that being said, let's move on because I do have more comments about that segment outside of that video. But let's get into chronological order. We kick off with an AEW World Title Eliminator match, except for psych, we don't. Samoa Joe tries to make his entrance, and before he could even get down the ramp, Swerve Strickland ambushes him. There's pop, pop, pop. They're hitting each other. Pop, boom, boom, pop, boom, boom. Swerve Strickland puts Samoa Joe through a table. Oh, shit. Well, we can't do the match now. Credit to AEW in this case. The announcers did the, well, guys, that was going to be our first match. So I don't even know what's next on the run sheet. I liked how they added the bit of, well, now we don't know what to expect because that was going to be the first segment, right? Credit to them for trying to play up the unpredictable nature of an AEW Dynamite episode. So they clean up the mess of Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland. And then we go and we get a recap of Trent breaking our hearts as he turned on Orange Cassidy. Renee Paquette goes backstage, tries to get a word with Orange Cassidy, and Orange says he'll have a match on Friday. But rest assured, he'll be addressing the heartless actions of Trent. So I know I said a lot there. Let's first back up. What did you think of the swerve attack on Samoa Joe to kick off the episode?
I honestly, like, I started the episode on my phone, right? And so I set it on the counter and I was like grabbing something and I can't remember. And so as the show was starting, I didn't catch that, I see the melee happening, right? And I was like, wait a minute. I thought it was Joe and Dustin Rhodes. What's going on? I was like, you know what I mean? It took me a while to swing. I was like, oh, he jumped him on the entrance. I was like, okay. So I thought that was cool, right? Again, unexpected. I clearly didn't expect it. Jumping right out the gate, I wasn't even looking. So I thought that was neat. But again, it was like, oh, so are we not doing the match? Or what are we? You know, like, what's going on? Yeah.
Now, with Renee Paquette talking to Orange Cassidy, I do want to talk a little bit about after Trent turned his back on the best friends, we did get an extra bonus video outside of a Dynamite episode where Trent is walking backstage. He's untaping his wrist and Chris Statlander chases him down and was like, hey, what, you jerk? That's your best friend. What are you doing? And Trent whispers something in Statlander's ear. Statlander does not respond. She doesn't have a positive or negative reaction to whatever was said in her ear. What do you make of that video moving forward with Orange Cassidy, Trent, and the best friends?
Yeah, I like that we're slow playing it a little bit, right? I didn't need another melee and a breakdown this week necessarily. I do like that we got a little bit of nuggets here and there throughout the week, right? And this, what did he say that seemed to give her enough, right? Like in the moment, not even maybe necessarily considering what he was saying, but just right? Like realizing okay, well that makes sense. Right now I see why he's mad at least. Right. So I hope we get some answers to that, coming, in the next couple of weeks, but so far I'm intrigued, right? What is it? Do you have any ideas of what this could be?
I believe, and I cannot, completely contextualize what it is yet, but what I think we're going down the path of is Trent with Chris Statlander going heel, not doing Bonnie and Clyde kind of thing, but hey, we're best friends. Fuck everyone else. We're going to do our own shit. Because fast forward, and we'll talk about it a little bit because of the actual interview style, but if you caught towards the latter half of this episode, Mercedes Moné was doing a backstage interview with Alex Marvez. Lights go out. She gets attacked. We're led to believe that's probably Julia Hart or Sky Blue. What if
you think
it's Chris Statlander? That's the only thing I would say is consider with the whatever was whispered in her ear. We haven't seen any actions of her since then. And then all of a sudden, Mercedes Moné, who she's like, nice to meet you. It's great. Trying to kind of become best friends with. Well, all of a sudden, well, fuck those best friends things. I'm about getting those titles. I'm just saying. But we'll get to that in a minute. We actually do get...
My friends are Benjamins. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. I like that phrase, actually. We actually do get some in-ring action. We get a TNT championship match. It's the Cope Open. And we get the rated R superstar, Adam Copeland, versus Penta. And Tim, the cool kids say, that wasn't on my bingo cards. But this legitimately is one of those matchups where if I would have told you 12 months ago, hey, man, on the podcast, we're going to talk about a match between Penta and Edge, but it's not going to be in WWE. That would have been wild, right? And here we go. We got that.
If we would have made that prediction, people would have called us an idiot, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was cool, man. And this is what I was saying. AEW is that number two promotion, right? So I feel like the type of characters that you're going to get are these sort of guys that, A, either WWE doesn't want or they don't want to do that schedule or whatever, right? So you're going to get some folks from around the world. You're going to get your Will Ospreys, maybe your Pentas, right? Those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. You're going to get up-and-comers. Unless they're fucking really that goddamn good. Like, there's potential MJF goes to WWE because, like, they can put him in movies and shit quicker than an AEW can, right? Like,
no.
I don't want it, but, like, so sometimes it's kind of one of those things. It's like consider them a UFL versus NFL, right? Like, you're going to have some good young upstarts, but if they're good enough to go, well, they might just go, right, and go make the real dough, right? Now, the dough's a little different these days, right? The money's a little different, so that helps AEW's turn. But then you're going to get some of these guys on the way back down. Either, A, they want a lighter schedule, or they don't agree with what WWE has in plans for them, or they just want to kind of help mentor and be still involved in better things and, like, just kind of enjoy wrestling. So, like, this is where Adam Copeland is great for that moment. I said, right, Penta doesn't necessarily need the veteran to show him the things, but he knows how to, like, give Penta that moment, right? Like, when Penta's the cool guy doing his fucking, you know, his fucking dances and things like that, like, there's nothing that needs be said, right? Like, Adam Copeland knows how to, like, run this moment and let the crowd enjoy that moment. And this match was told, I thought, very well. Like, they just, I think the blending of styles, right? Because you wouldn't think, like, oh, here comes Adam Copeland, Lucha superstar, right? So I thought it worked very well for considering that, like, these guys have probably never, ever done this before with each other.
Yeah, and credit to Adam Copeland. There were some times where he did like a flying head scissor takeover, and even Penta did a spear on Adam Copeland. So there was a little bit of like, I can do your style kind of tit for tat kind of thing. I also liked how, you know, what's his name? The translator got a spear because, you know, Adam Copeland said, I'm already running, so I'm going to hit something. And it was him. Yeah. And this was really good. I thought the ending was really fun. Penta goes for like a middle turn kick to the face, but then Adam Copeland's like, ah, I speared you. And he wins. Now, after the match, arena lights go out. So you know it's something spooky. And the arena lights come back on. Julia Hart is facing him. He's like, okay, cool, little girl. Does not realize Brody King is behind him. He attacks Adam Copeland. Julia Hart's kind of laughing. And who comes to make the save? Everyone's best friend, Willow Nightingale. Willow Nightingale chases off Julia.
Willow!
Adam Copeland clotheslines Brody King. And so what do you think about Willow Nightingale? Again, another thing where I said, hey, Willow Nightingale is going to help Edge.
You know? Yeah, interesting, because I can't get enough of Willow, so great, but it did strike me as like, it's Willow, right? Like, Willow's coming out of and like, I'm here for it. I love if Willow just starts becoming like the police in cases when nobody else will help, right? Willow's the one that stands up for the downtrodden.
Willow!
So here's the thing that I thought was interesting, though, is so right after that, I think we go to a commercial break. We come back. Renee Paquette is backstage with Mark Briscoe and Eddie Kingston, which, as I can't remember who mentioned it in the chat, Ring of Honor did their pay-per-view on Friday night. Mark Briscoe beat Eddie Kingston to become your new Ring of Honor world champion. After the match, they did a promo saying, we beat the fuck out of each other and we love each other. Imagine what we're going to do to you. We don't like you, House of Black. Thought that was interesting. However, caveat, why didn't you help Adam Copeland? Right?
Yeah, why didn't you guys go? Yeah.
Why didn't you go? And
why did Willow have to go help?
Yeah, you didn't have to hit Julia Hart. It wasn't one of those things. You could have just chased him off. So
it just stood in the way. Human shield.
Yeah. But here's another amazing segment with Stokely Hathaway. So the three of them, Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe, are talking. And they're essentially like, hey, we're all good, right? And yeah, we're all good, you know, all that stuff. And then here comes Willow Nightingale to kind of say to Adam Copeland, hey, appreciate, you know, you helping me, I'm helping you. If you need anything, let me know. And Stokely Hathaway goes, yeah, exactly. So that's why we want a TNT championship match, Willow Nightingale versus Adam Copeland. And everyone's like, no. And he's like, yeah, no, you're right. Nah, yeah, that was stupid. Nope. Nah,
yes, I want that now, yes. Now I want it, yes.
He's like, what am I talking about? And so kind of a roundabout way, they make a match for next week, Julia Hart, Brody King versus Adam Copeland, Willow Nightingale. But the shining moment of this interview was... Stokely Hathaway Millicent's talked to Eddie Kingston. He's like, hey, Eddie. And Eddie doesn't even let him finish the sentence.
Yeah, he's just like, fuck off. Out of here, man. Yeah.
He just walks off. But then Stokely Hathaway's like, remember what I said? You smell like
Newports and Burger King.
Newports and Burger King. We're good, right? But like, yeah. Eddie didn't
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that,
leave.
Right?
Yeah. But he didn't actually leave. So he's like, what the fuck? Get out of here. And so like the camera guy doesn't know what to do. So they all just like left. Stokely Hathaway. More Stokely Hathaway in AEW. You want to get
Big Stoke? Ooh!
He had an awesome OJ Simpson tweet today, too. Oh my god.
Oh my god, I didn't see this. I need to see that.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Oh my it's really god. Funny.
What was the other
So words? Anyhow. God so damn. Next week we get a mixed tag or a as God intended, a male and a female versus a male and a female, cuz it ain't right for two males to fight two males. It's in the Bible. But so we I didn't even think about that. Kind of gay. you ever thought about that? And so that's what we get next week. Now, as we mentioned to start this recap of AEW Dynamite, we then get the Young Bucks talking about the backstage footage. So here's where we tried to make a storyline out of it, which credit to them, right?
We tried.
They just didn't, but they didn't just like, here's a video, bye. They said, the reason we were distracted was because your fucking best friend, CM Punk, and they didn't ever
mention
it.
They got some digs. They got some digs in.
Yeah. Yep. But the, your best friend is interrupting our biggest show. And so then afterwards, you have the audacity to shake our hand. Fuck out of here, right? You pricks. So at Dynasty, we're going to kick the shit out of you. Okay. But Tim, they're the heels. That's what I didn't understand, because if let's say in kayfabe, right? Let's not take ourselves out of this for a quick moment.
Okay.
Wouldn't we cheer CM Punk? Right? I mean, like if we're staying in kayfabe, CM Punk wasn't the bad guy.
Yeah, that's true. It's an interesting way, you know. Yeah, I, you know, we didn't talk much about this, but I don't know that I ever necessarily... I mean, I guess the footage did show me some things, right? So I guess it would have showed it. But yeah, the way they tried to make this a storyline is where I thought we were going to like see the footage and then maybe FTR runs in and be like, what the fuck are you doing, right? Like, stop it, knock it off, right? And then the Young Bucks are like, oh, what? You can't handle your friend, right? But even then, like you're saying, but then aren't we sympathetic for CM Punk at that point? Like,
yeah, that's the thing that kind of made me. Now, I do, I guess I understand to a certain degree them saying we were distracted facing FTR because we have to play cleanup because of your psycho friend. But if that's the case, then you should be the baby face in this, right? Like that, a little bit.
Albeit, you know, we can consider that we like FTR, but they have a troubled friend, right? And so he's then, but they're twisting the knife by calling him a psycho friend and an unhinged, you know what I mean? I would have dug more into the digs, right? I would have done more of the pot shots that the Young Bucks are known for and delivered less on the footage part, although we got the footage part, right? But like, it was weird to me that they were just like, here's no audio footage with no, like no under background, just for a good solid minute and a half. Yeah, I would have done a lot more of the digs, a lot more things. I almost would have like made it seem like they were trying to troll us and only showing some FTR footage. FTR stops them, and then as FTR and them are fighting, the footage rolls on and we see the actual footage, right? Like maybe something like that, but
yeah,
I don't know. I know they tried here and I know they wanted to make it seem like, not necessarily that they're like, they want to make it seem like, oh, the only reason we're doing this is a storyline. I know they just tried to make it all, you know what I mean, fit together. And I don't know. I think they got a C for that effort.
Yeah. And credit to FTR. I really thought they were the MVPs of this segment, because as soon as they, you know, play the footage, Matthew and Nicholas, they say, be ready at Dynasty, because now that distraction's not even in this company. We're going to kick your ass. And immediately FTR walks out, not in any type of gear. They're not wearing any FTR shirts, just got off the bus, walked to the arena kind of thing.
Lost their luggage.
Like, yeah, but they're like, hey, you assholes, we beat you because we're better than you. So, like, don't use that as an excuse. We beat you once before that. We beat you that time. And guess what? At Dynasty, we're also going to beat your ass. I did like that even though FTR are the best friends of CM Punk, they did make mention, if you caught this, where they said, you know, at the start of this, you said you founded AEW to be All Elite Wrestling, but somewhere along the line, you lost that. But truth be told, if it wasn't for you, we might be shaving each other's backs.
Yes.
Huh?
That was great. Because again, they threw, all parties involved did manage to throw. And again, like, look, if you only like WWE, that's fine. That's what we said. Like, just go watch it. But you don't need to be like finding other people posting stuff and then like commenting on there and being like, oh, but they fuck like that fucking moron, like idiot stuff. Right. So just like, but they have to remind some folks, apparently, like, it's not all like, not everybody does well over there. Like, it's not a meritocracy and shit, right? Yeah. Like, they puts people in bad positions. It's not for everybody who wants to work in wrestling. It's also not for everybody who wants to watch wrestling, right? So, like, that you would want this other option for them to not be there, again, sounds like abuser behavior to me, right? Mm-hmm. But I like the dig that they threw in there. I was under the impression maybe that footage would be of that, right? Like a funny dig at them, and it's like them in the back seeing like, oh, remember backstage footage over here, right? Like, remember that? So I thought that's what we were going to get. So interesting. Look, if FTR is back and we're going to get them back after, you know, a break, and they're going to be here a little more regularly, and we're going to go on some tag team runs, and they're going to put on some bangers again, that'll help with some stuff, I think, right? I think that we've been missing in AEW. But I was a little reminded that, man, I feel like the FTR playbook of their promos is a little repetitive now, right? It is, I love this business, and I'll run the roads for y'all, and my daughter loves this too. And you know, I mean, like, okay, I need a little more from them now at this point.
If we're being honest, secret time here, when MJF did the making fun of Dax Harwood when was Adam Cole and MJF going up against FTR, he kind of ruined their promo, right? Yeah. I mean, MJF scorched earth Dax Harwood. And ever since then, he's like, okay, but this is what I do. And it's like, no, we know now. We completely see what you do now. But I do like that. Even though they could have easily, and I think they even did a little bit of like, whether it's at Wembley or the best in the world, they made mention somehow of CM Punk, which credit to you. If you want to have, look, I have shitty friends too. I'm not saying like if a shitty person you shouldn't be friends with them. So whatever. But I did like that, as you said, they made mention that like, hey, WWE isn't Candyland, right? It isn't all shoots and ladders and, you know, lollipops. Some of the shit fucking sucks up there. And by the way, some of the shit is being still decided on by people who are still there. It wasn't all Vince McMahon, right? Yeah. Okay. Just going to say that. But let's keep it moving. We go to another interview segment. Go ahead.
Hey, remember, you know, people have a lot to say about like what AEW shouldn't be doing and what, you know, like what dumb booking moves and things like that. And like, wasn't it a couple years ago that a bunch of zombies ate the fucking Miz in the ring, and then the Miz showed back up like he didn't even remember that fucking happened? Anyway,
yeah. Well, and to FTR, one of their criticisms that I've heard them say outside of the ring, like in shoot interviews, is if you recall Raw, whatever it is, Raw celebration of a milestone, it was old guy DX's, you know, X-Pac and Shawn Michaels and Triple H, beat the fuck out of FTR. That's how they close the episode. They all just hit their finishers. Oh my God.
We're going to get so many click reunions now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But we go into another interview segment. We go with Renee Paquette, and she introduces Will Ospreay. One note before we talk about what was actually said, they tried again the Renee faces the stage and not the audience. Audience the crowd is in my backdrop.
Yeah.
How second week, I believe this is.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it, but I think you need to reserve it for somebody that's going to get the crowd going, right? Like, don't just like, okay, now it's your turn up there. Like, no, somebody who we know can deliver on it needs to go and do it.
And I believe I would have
to. We don't need it every week either, I think.
I agree. And I also would say, you know, I would have to fact check, so this may not be completely accurate, but I think that everyone who has done that promo has then turned to the crowd, right? So it's not right. as if I go to the show and I get the third row seats next to the ramp, I'm not going to see Mercedes Moné's face, right? Like everyone, yeah. I believe, has turned to the crowd and be like, yeah, motherfuckers, and then the crowd goes
yeah.
crazy.
So my dick. Yeah.
Yeah, so they have added that a yeah. little bit, which I think is great. However, this promo, Tim, Will Ospreay breaks kayfabe for a moment and essentially says, Tony Khan said I got 5 minutes, make it worth your while because TV time's yeah. expensive. And then just essentially says, Triple H, you suck. Bryan Danielson, I'm still going to beat you and I'm the best in the world. We could obviously dig a little bit deeper into what he said, but what did you think of the overall sentiment of this onstage promo?
I liked a lot of what Will Ospreay said. When he was saying it, I thought, man, you timed this very shortly after the other speeches about Bomb like show. Now it felt like we've been going on a solid hour here of like rah, rah, AW. Like we should have spaced this out a little more right now. It feels like we're beleaguering a point too much here, right? But that said, I love that. Again, this is what I get pissed off with the WWE people who act as though like WWE is doing what proper, you know, real wrestling businesses do, and you know, AW is engaging in childish behavior. Triple H went on to an interview and said, when I hear about guys wanting like a lighter schedule, well, then I think, well, I'm glad I didn't pick you. I like that Will Ospreay is going out there and is like, hold on. This wasn't a picking thing. Like an offer was made that he didn't accept because what he considered was a better offer over here. And it wasn't because of a lighter schedule. It was actually so he could do a tougher schedule and fly back and fucking forth while keeping his family where they live in Britain, which WWE wasn't going to allow. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, mm-hmm. you gave him a near impossible choice and then told him like, oh, well, I'm glad I didn't pick you. Again, I'm led to believe that we're told Triple H works like 18-hour days and never sees his fucking kids. Have that. Yeah, go ahead, man. Like, fucking go ahead, guy. Like that's the thing is like, this whole like, oh, I'm glad I didn't pick you. It wasn't a pick. You gave him an offer from what we're all to understand. He didn't take it. He didn't pick you, and that's what you're upset about. And that's where I don't get that the people don't smell through that bullshit. And that's what Will Ospreay went out and did was like, hey, so that was bullshit. And then he did give a dig back. And as you alluded to talking to me, that it's a bit of a tired gig, right? Triple H may be have gotten to the position in that in part due to some point, at least faster because he had a connection to the boss's family, but he's clearly proven that he's capable and can handling it. And they've since still said, no, you're still the guy, even though it's potential that he knew some shit and might not should be the guy, right? But like, wow. They still seem to trust him, so like, we're gonna go ahead and say he's fucking fine at his job and is not just there because he fucked Vince's daughter now, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
so that feels a little bit tired, but like, I mean, it just fits with like, because he said grind, so like, I mean, I get the logistical, like, you know, I've worked in comedy clubs a long time, like, I know, I get it, right? I get the fucking linguistics of it, but like, yeah, it did feel a little tired, but the overarching sentiment was like, fuck you, pal. Like, this was not you didn't choose me, guy. Like, and I don't yeah. need you to choose me, guy.
I wish that was more of the sentiment than yeah. you're only there because you fucked Stephanie. Because I think, because look, Vince didn't even pick his own fucking children. He didn't need to pick Triple H at all, right? So, like, yeah. this idea that, like, oh, just because he banged Stephanie, he doesn't even fucking like Stephanie. Or Shane. Yeah. Like, he wasn't going to let them run it.
No, I like Stephanie a little too much, but yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though. Like, he wasn't going to let them run it, so fuck you guys. You know what I'm saying? I wish, though, it was more of the, no. I didn't pick you, okay? Let's yeah. understand that you gave me an offer and I said no. I also think one thing that, again, as you mentioned, oh, the proper wrestling companies should. Here's the thing. You keep talking shit, I'm going to have to defend myself. And now,
yeah, exactly. Because you guys would just be like, oh, you guys don't even defend yourself. You're a loser. So, like, yeah. miss me with any of that. Yeah.
Well, And to those people, let's be completely honest. They don't care, right? If they take the high road, well, they're killing you, right? You go the low road, you guys are just fucking around and not even a real company. So it doesn't matter.
So I mean, it's gaslighting. It's abusive behavior. It's all bullshit, right?
Yeah, so it doesn't matter whatever action AEW does. Right. These are
bad faith
actors. You obviously don't fucking care, right? You just team this guy over here, right?
That's what I mean. You're bad faith actors. They're not actually engaging in a conversation about this, right?
But this is one thing, though, that I want to – I haven't 100% verbalized it how I think I want to say it, but I'll try my best here. This is one of the things that I don't like about pro wrestling fans is – or I should say the pro wrestling community. That's a little bit too harsh. The niche of the niche, right? Of the fans is if we show the footage of CM Punk and Jungle Boy, even though it's not really anything, well, what the fuck was that? You just wasted my time. But we've done continuous little jabs at each other, and we're just eating it up. Even going back to when the Young Bucks, Matt Jackson tried to do the buckshot lariat and fell on his ass in Chicago. CM Punk doing the counterfeit buck. We're eating that shit up, which is fucking less than what the fight was, right? That's less than that. You know what I mean? And so here, Will Ospreay just does another dig back at Triple H and the AEW, you know, faith or whatever. We're like, yeah, ha, ha, ha. But I wonder if he would have been like, this was the offer. They offered me 4 years, $6 million a year. And then we're like, oh, wait a minute. That's too much, right? Because we don't actually want the substance. We want our imagination to go with the insult. That's what this whole, and that's again where, and I'm not trying to be mean, because I do know that there's a lot of people in this community that do know how to, you know, throw hands as it may be.
Yeah, right.
But this community is essentially built off of guys who never actually did anything going to theater camp and pushing people around, right? I got cut from the football team, so I'm going to go to theater class and I'm going to push this 125-pound kid down and I'm going to push that guy down and I'm tough. And it's like, well, go play for the football team. Well, I'm too strong. I'm too crazy for them. No, you're a fucking pussy. That's the thing. And unfortunately, that's a lot of what this whole culture is built off of. Because I will say it again, and I do not want to bring up this argument up on a new platform. However, I will say it just as a saying it, and I'll move on. But wrestling's not a sport. It's not a sport. This is theater. This is a theater show that we're watching. It's no different than when you go to dinner in a movie or Cirque du Soleil, except for it's way fucking cooler. That's all. Yeah. Okay. So like no one hears again, Anthony Ogogo, who we'll talk about in just a moment, is a fucking legitimate badass. Olympic level boxer will fuck you up. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Funny how CM Punk never talked about that guy. I'm just saying that's a dig. I didn't really mean that, but so I'm not trying to say like everyone in this fucking thing is pussies. Kurt Angle won a fucking Olympic gold medal with a broken fucking neck, right? However, this is theater.
Yeah.
But not everyone's fucking tough.
I'm reminded of that. CM Punk did pick like the three smallest fucking people on the roster to get in a fight with.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Interesting.
Didn't ever get mad at a Powerhouse Hobbs or a fucking Lance Archer. You know,
right? Yeah.
Never those guys.
No,
isn't that interesting?
No. Right.
I find that fascinating.
Very interesting. Yeah, man. It's I've seen too many of the fucking fake tough guys. And you know what I've seen too many is, here's something I want to say to a bunch of these fucking commenters lately as well. Anybody telling me, well, if Tony Khan would have handled that shit, right? Or like Bully Ray saying like, I'll work there for free. They need a fucking boss, right? Like we need a fucking leader. If he would have been a real leader. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, guys. In my time in the past, because I'm an old guy, in my time in the military, here, let me fix this fucked up camera here real quick so I can get this good. I've seen some fucking leaders. I've seen people in charge of tens of thousands of fucking people across fucking continents, right? I've seen the fucking leaders who handle shit and things don't happen around, or that when they do, it gets handled quickly and not again. Like, I know what kind of leader that is. And I can say, by all you fucking commenters, you're not it. No, you would not have fucking handled it. No, you fucking wouldn't have. Unequivocally, no, you would the fuck not have. No, you would not have. Because I've seen those fucking people, and you aren't it. Right? Like, you're just not. So miss me with that. Miss me with your faux fucking intellectualism about, like, how to run a goddamn multi-hundred-dollar or billion-dollar company when your fucking ass works at goddamn AutoZone. I don't want to fucking hear it.
Yeah.
Like, for fucking Christ.
Yeah.
It's insane to me, these people. Like, everybody's so cocksure of every fucking thing now, right? Like, everybody's like, well, if they just would have this or if they just would have that. And this one goes back to last week. Like, you motherfuckers don't know. Can anybody have any fucking humility and be like, man, I wonder what's going on there, but this sure is fucking interesting to watch the fire. Can any of you just calm the fuck down with it? Like, Jesus.
Well, and that's, yeah, that's one last thing that I would say about the kind of punk situation, you know, is we're fans. No one's getting a check.
Yeah.
At least, you know.
I'll start watching more WWE. If you tell me they're going to start taking shots at each other, that's fucking fun.
Yeah. Well, I said this on Threads, is the people who complain that the footage was shown or that people are being petty will also tell you that they love the Attitude Era, which, fun fact, that's all it fucking was. It was all pettiness. It was all Vince McMahon, you know, saying that WCW fucking sucks. It's Eric Bischoff challenging Vince McMahon to a karate match or some bullshit. Yeah. So, like, it's all the fucking stuff, right? The Nacho Man, the Huckster.
Bischoff talking about what Tony Khan shouldn't do. Yeah, he's the guy who challenged Vince McMahon to a fucking karate fight.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But what I wanted to get back to.
He's even a guy who knows more about doing the thing than any of these fucking commenters. But anyway.
Yeah. But last thing I'll say as we kind of wrap up the Ospreay segment to go on is I do think more people like the insults and then my imagination running with, then the facts were he offered me this and I said no.
Yeah. Because they don't want to know. Effort. They just want shit talk.
Then it's, hey, man. Yeah. It's not a playground insult. You know what I mean? All right, well, let's keep it going. We got a trios match next. As I mentioned, Anthony Ogogo, he's out here with Shane Taylor Promotions. If you watched, I believe, Rampage or Collision, everything kind of runs together now in my head because I take a chemo pill and my brain is slowly dying. Anthony Ogogo joined Shane Taylor Promotions. He attacked Chris Jericho. He puts him under a flag. Ha-ha, suck it. They take on Lionheart, Chris Jericho, Hook, and Shibata. Earlier in the night, a segment was done where Chris Jericho was like, this is what we're doing. I go in, I do this. Hook, you do that. Like, he's doing the I know best bad guy thing.
Yeah, but it felt to me like he was winging it. Like he forgot his fucking lines and he was just coming up with shit off the top of his head. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, probably. But I think the angle was, hey, be like an overbearing, know best teacher. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, don't let anybody get a word in edgewise. I got the plan. Yeah.
Yeah. But now, did he do it? Well, debatable, right? One thing, though, I love Shibata doing the translator. He just is like, what's his deal? What's his and then deal? He even says to Renee Paquette, I like your necklace. Like,
yeah. It's so good stuff. I'm here for that. Yes. Yeah, I never thought of face. I think similar. Remember when they would do the Funaki thing and then, like, it was, like, obviously different and things like that? Yeah. It's similar to that where it's, like, a unique way to take somebody who can speak none of the language but still have dialogue. I love it.
And the thing I also like about Shibata is it's never, like, when he said that he liked Renee Paquette's necklace, it wasn't a smile. It was still the same stone face that he said, same what's face. With Jericho? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same face. I thought that was great. But we get a tag match here.
Yeah, I love that he talks like a West Coast surfer dude. Also, what's his deal?
exactly.
Yeah.
So we get a 6-man tag here. We get to the meat of what this was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Jericho, Hook, their tempers flare up, which leaves Shibata by himself. And then Shane Taylor Promotions gets the victory. Looks like Dynasty is where we're potentially going to get Hook versus Chris Jericho. Tim, as the ballers that we are actually going to Dynasty on April 21st. What would you think about a potential Hook versus Jericho match at that pay-per-view?
I mean, I would appreciate Hook, right? And we'll get to fucking cheer Hook, right? And Hook is cool. But man, we've said this enough, and I don't want to beat the dead horse and feel like I'm just shitting on Jericho, because he's done a lot for this industry and this business, and he's been a champion and an advocate for it, and still will be forever. But like, there is a time where absence makes the heart grow fonder, and just this stuff ain't working, man. Like, I just, we've seen Jericho and the young upstart, and things go awry, and it's just,
yeah. I agree with you, because there is something to the effect of, okay, so we saw Chris Jericho work with Ricky Starks. We saw Chris Jericho work with Daniel Garcia. We saw Chris, like, and so now it's just like, well, I know what's going to happen. It's the same fucking thing that happened with Starks and Daniel Garcia and Action Andretti, or, you know, whatever it is. So like, why would it be any different? You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's the thing where it's like, come back and do something different.
Why Jeffrey not, Sill, you know, says Jericho needs to go home for a few months. And yeah, man, just not even go home, but like maybe something else, right? Isn't there a Dancing with the Stars or something we can
Well, you send know, him one to? Thing that I think that would add Fozzie to the show, and not to steal from WWE and to say like they always do everything correct. However, one thing that is great about going to a WWE show is the dark main event. Mm-hmm. And if you tell me I'm going to go to Dynamite and you see this whole advertised card, right? And then at the end, you say, stay here because the dark main event's Chris Jericho versus Jon Moxley. I'm just making that up, right? You're like, no fucking way. Chris Jericho's here. Yeah, right. I haven't seen him on TV in 6 weeks. So he can still be there week to week, helping with whatever the fuck. He could be your locker room here, you know, leader, because he beat up Goldberg and he stepped to fucking Brock Lesnar, by the way. Like, shut the fuck up that there's no locker room, guys. Anyhow.
Yeah, we can talk about, like, we can talk about Jericho being a goof, right? And maybe being a fucking, you know, Capital Stormer.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
But he took a fight to Brock Lesnar, right? Like, CM Punk took a fight to Jack Perry. Chris Jericho took it to Brock Lesnar, guys, right?
And Goldberg, like, yeah.
And Goldberg, prime. Yeah.
Yeah,
fucking Goldberg right now, fuck you up, man. Like, you're trying to go to him in his prime? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, no
dude's,
shit.
Dude's an orangutan, man. Jesus. Yeah.
All right, so after that, we get AEW Continental Champion. And remember, there's too many titles in AEW. It's Okada. That's the belt he has. And he takes on faceless white guy. And he beats him. That's great.
It was faceless white guy.
Here's the thing that I was thinking about. I don't remember his name because it's another faceless white guy, but he made an impression on me. If you recall, this faceless white guy, and I should say he had a beard and everything, he faced Samoa Joe, and the step away spot that Samoa Joe does where he's like, I ain't fucking gonna stand there for that shit.
This
faceless white guy goes like a, hey,
did that one. Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, that's the same now, guy. Yeah.
Let's do a James Ellsworth background check on him, right? Mm-hmm. But if he's on the up and up, I think that's the guy that should be taking on Okada, or that's the guy that gets beat up by Shane Taylor, or that's the guy that gets beat up.
Yeah, if there was a lovable loser that we could get behind, where we're like, oh no, he's going to try.
He's got Ellsworth, but, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But again, we got to make sure checks out legally, right?
Yeah.
I wish they don't touch kids. He was in this spot. Yeah. I wish he was in that spot instead of this guy, which, no offense to this guy, but I'm never going to remember. But Okada beats him. And then he gets on the microphone. He goes, hey, Pac, I accept your challenge at Dynasty, bitch. And he didn't say that part. But then Pac comes out and he's like, oh, ho, ho, you say my name, I'm going to dance. You play that music and I'll get my two-step on. And he walks down there and he goes, Okada, I'm going to give you a little how's your father. Before he could even really do anything, here comes the Young Bucks. And let's address the elephant in the room. Were there people chanting CM Punk? Yep, there was. Here's what I'll say about that. It's fucking easy to chant, right? It's not a Blackpool Combat Club. Like,
yeah, you're right. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
CM Punk, right. CM Punk. Like, it's almost one syllable, right? So it's easy to chant.
Well, and they also are people that are very disliked. They're very polarizing figures. Some people just hate them and will chant something at them because they don't like them.
And they're the bad guys in this storyline, right? Again, that's where you kind of fucking missed us with the kayfabe stuff. And so, yes, was there chance of CM Punk? But as I mentioned on Threads, the scapegoat t-shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees sold the fuck out in one day. But I thought they
yeah. only the by book. The way, whoever fucking chatted on Threads and was like, easy to sell out when it's a dying company, like, it's pro wrestling tees, you fucking moron. It's not like, anyway.
Yeah. Well, and even is AEW, the billionaire company's dying?
Yeah, right.
He can't make enough shirts.
Fucking Warner Discovery touted them as one of three of four named entities that were creating their great rating success. But all right.
Yeah, okay. No, but they're dying. They're right,
but they're dying. They're dying. Yeah. They're dying.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Named four programs that were leading to their rating success, and three of them were AEW products. So there you go. But, yeah, they're dying.
They're dying. But so the Bucks come out. They're teaming up on Pac. FTR comes out. They get a big pop. Credit to them. And they, you know, chase off the Bucks and Okada. So there it is. Next, we go backstage. We hear from the ROH six-man champions, the Gang Bang Gang. I'm kidding. I need to stop that. It's the Bang Bang Gang. And man.
I mean, it might be. I don't know what they're doing. Yeah,
whatever you're into.
Fucking right? The road is lonely, Tom.
Yeah, but
maybe the road is not lonely.
I just think it's a nerdy name. I don't think it's.
It is. Cool. The Bang Bang Gang is like, again, this is when I talk about, you know, what we said years ago, nerds that act cool. That's the vibe I get from these guys right now. They are the heels, and that's supposed to be what they're doing. But like, it's like, we're the Bang Bang Gang. And everybody's like, that's a stupid name. And they're like, bang, bang. And we're like, dorks. Right. Like, yeah. Remember that Adam Sandler skit where they're like, get ready. And they're like, you suck. And they're like, school spirit. And they're like, boo.
Right. Drop like, out.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. You know. Right.
But here's where it kind of got lost on me. Jay White, credit to him for acting as if he is the top guy of top guys. He's a heel. He's supposed to have somewhat of that weird egotistical mindset. But when he was like, everyone's talking about, it's like, brother, 30 minutes ago is what we're all talking about.
Yeah,
we're talking right. about some fucking video, okay? Yeah. You ain't yeah, fucking talking shit about you. Right now on the radar, you know? But anyhow, he talks about Billy Gunn and all the stuff. Rampage, no. Whatever. We're going to
get. Yeah.
Next up, Tim, we get, I'm supporting her new shirt, Timeless Toni Storm. And I'm going to attempt this. I wrote it down. Probably going to fuck it up, but that's okay. Timeless Toni Storm posted a Charleston Championship champagne toast. Nailed it, motherfuckers.
I like that. Nailed it. Nice.
For Thunder Rosa. And guess what? Champagne in the face. Yeah. Beat her up. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, obviously that was going to happen. Obviously it happened. It was supposed to happen. Good. We move the story along a little bit. But then Toni Storm goes to young Toni Storm, Mariah May. I still love that line.
Yeah. She looks like a younger me, but Thunder Rosa looks like an older Thunder Rosa. I forgot that line. I need to use that.
That is the best line. Oh, my God.
Especially when you catch someone unaware, right? Like, you haven't thrown out a joke in a while. We're not joking, right? Maybe it's a serious conversation.
And it doesn't sound like an insult, right? Like, oh, that person reminds me of a younger thing. Okay. And then, like, wait a minute, what? Right? Love it. Yeah, it's a great insult.
Like, this person reminds me of a younger thing. And then be like, and you remind me of an older...
You. actually, I'm sorry. Before we get the Mariah May, Toni Storm... I drunken, like, go out there and get her, Mariah May kind of thing. Deonna Purrazzo does try to help Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa pushes Deonna Purrazzo away. So maybe there's some dissension amongst baby faces there. Anyhow, then Toni Storm drunkenly like makes out with the side of Mariah May's face and then like pushes her down the entrance ramp and is like, go, my young one, go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And she is in a rematch with Anna Jay. They had a fine match. Nothing that you're going to, you know, put on a DVD or like a best of list at the end of the year, but it wasn't bad.
Right.
And Mariah May gets the victory. As soon as she gets the victory, though, Anna Jay, she snaps just like her boyfriend. Kidding. And she puts Mariah May
in
a chokehold. Yeah. Now, I wrote this girl's name down because I did not know who she was. And then I looked her up and I found out some things. But as Anna Jay is choking out Mariah May, gonna nail it.
Nailed it.
Mina Shikirwa. Shikirwa. Da.
Nailed it.
I'm gonna have to hear it again. Right. I can say Takeshita. Remember, I couldn't say that. Now I can. Takeshita,
Right.
right? So
Yeah.
I'm just gonna
And
have
you
to
could
hear it
say
more.
Lana.
Yeah, Lana. Fuck you. That's a throwback if you ever were
Yeah.
with us in the beginning of the days. But she comes to us from Stardom, right? And she helps
Yes.
out Mariah May. Now, what I found out about Mina is Mina was actually Mariah May's first mentor before Toni Storm. And Tim, I'm just going to say there were some people. And a night filled with moments, such as the video of Punk and Jack Perry, the promo from Ospreay to Triple H, maybe even the swerve attack on Samoa Joe. Some people would say that kiss between Mina and Mariah May was their highlight of the night. Just gonna say, some people said that. Some people thought it, some people said it. So I guess, do you think as we go into this pay-per-view, now that we've introduced Mina into the fold, that we get these two dueling mothers fighting over the
I wouldn't hate it. Yeah.
only
I wouldn't hate it. I
child?
mean, it is a little out of left field. I don't hate the idea of them engaging in like a crossover Forbidden Door type of things with the Stardom, right? Because as we've said, the women's roster sometimes can take some cycling, right? And I think if you have that established relationship, and notwithstanding going forward in the Triple H WWE era, I think they're going to do more of those things than Vince ever did, right? They're going to as well be working with other smaller organizations and doing some things like that. So you might as well set some of those relationships now, right? And I think Stardom would be a great one.
And I also think that it's an easy story to tell. Hey, this girl that came from Stardom
Exactly.
now
Yeah,
has
this
a new
particular one is, yeah.
mentor. Well, guess what happened? She was in Stardom and
Yep.
had a mentor before. And now she wants to hang out again, right? It's a
Yeah.
built-in story. It's not one of those things of it's a dream match. No, it's not. Okay, let's not
Right.
everything's a dream match just because it happens between two different promotions. So
Spend
I
too much
like
time
that.
dreaming if all these matches are dream matches.
Exactly. Yeah. So I hope that that's maybe something that we get. But again, if we get Mina and Mariah May kissing at the end of each segment, some people are gonna say that's their highlight of the
Well,
night.
Jeffrey Sills says, I'm some people.
I'm just gonna say some people said
Some folks, not going to say which Tom said.
some people though said that was the highlight of their night.
That's a good
Screw
one you
that
throw into
backstage
meetings
finish.
too, right? Let's say you work like Justin Floor, right? Like our good friend Justin Floor, right?
Yeah.
If you're in a meeting, you can be like, listen, somebody said something scathing, right? And you go like, I'm not going to say which Justin said that, but we can just be
Yeah,
like, wait
that's
a
a
minute,
good
what the
one.
fuck? Right? Yeah.
I heard a really good insult the other day, side quest here, where they said, you know, a couple weeks ago, I said that you acted like how Adele sings. I hate Adele. Because it's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I hate Adele. And he's like,
Yeah.
oh, well, fuck.
I'm like,
All
oh,
right.
thanks. Be like, oh, no, don't thank me. I think she's
Yeah, I
terrible.
know.
I know.
Yeah, I know
I
she's
hate.
sorry. Yeah. That was great. Hey, we get backstage interview, but this one is a little bit more intimate. It's more of a sit down, and it's Alex Marvez with Mercedes Moné.
Marvez.
I told you this, and I'm not trying to be mean, but man, when you make Alex Marvez seem like the less stiff of the two of you, that ain't
Yeah.
good on your part.
That, look at your, yeah,
I
look at
gotta
all
look.
that. Yeah. This is great.
You know what I mean? Because when I saw Tim, here you go, because now I forgot about the Zoom thing. Because now, you know, when I saw this Mercedes Moné interview as it was going on in the middle of it, I was sad. Yeah, I was sad. See, that's why you should join the YouTube. It's fun to be on the internet.
It is
But
fun to be on the
let's.
internet.
But Mercedes says a whole nothing, right? Nothing. And she gets attacked.
Nothing.
So I brought up maybe Chris Statlander. If I were to make you do a prediction pick, is it Julia? Is it Willow? Is it other? Who do you got as that person who attacked?
I think we're going to get one of these where it probably is Julia, because I don't know, man. I would want us to, masterfully, I would want us to say like, oh, they want us to believe it's Julia, all the spooky stuff, and then it's Willow, right? Because she's just like, fuck you, I'm Willow, I'm the badass. But like, I think right now they're focused on making her still the, like, you know, like, yeah, I'm the champion, I fucking, I don't know, what's the, fucking, I don't know, so, you know, Powerpuff Girls, right? Like that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. So like, so I just don't know that it's going to be her, but man, I would love it to be. But I'm guess they'll probably just do the layup and go the Heart Crew, or it's you know, Sky her Blue. Minion, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sky Dark Blue now. Yeah.
Yeah. I would hope, I want it to be shocking, right? I do think it's a interesting story if Chris Statlander said, hey, Willow, this girl was talking shit on you, so I took her out because I'm your best friend. And then Willow goes like, sis, what the fuck? And then Stokely Hathaway says, well, I told her to do it. And you're like, Stokely? And you're like, what? Huh? What?
Big Stoke.
Theo says, does she still botch her promos? So more people are catching on, man. And this is where, you know, I hear some of the, like we talked about, all these asshole commenters, and like, some of what they say about WWE is likely there's some truth in it. Like, they make some bad decisions sometimes. We talk about them all the time. We think this is one of them. Paying her a lot of money and thinking she's going to be like the anchor now is a bad move. I think that's why WWE was kind of keeping her like under what she was asking for. Cause it's like, I think there's merch in you, right? But like, we've got to do, I think it's another one of those where she is better off in the machine because of how they do things and what their fans expect, right? They expect the moments. They want the, like, and now the stage hit and she was there and she ripped her hair off and they're like, that was amazing. And we're like, that was fucking nothing, right?
Yeah.
So she works better over there. That's where I just, like, there's different things. These are different. This is supposed to be an alternative. And I just don't think she fits in the alternative.
I think she can, because I think AEW is doing her a disservice by waiting for her to have her first match at Double or Nothing. Because I was thinking about this as far as, like, Mercedes is not a promo person. Obviously, we're seeing it more and more, especially when she's out of the machine, as you say. But we're kind of saying, hey, Steph Curry, only dunk. Yeah, we know you could shoot threes, but only dunk. And he's like, but I can shoot threes. Her best attribute is wrestling. She fucking wrestles better than 90% of the women in the world, but we're not having her wrestle. So that's why it kind of is not fun so far. And if we're still extending, when is Double or Nothing? July? Like,
something.
We got a long fucking time.
I know. We need a little more, I speak with my fucking fists and my feet, right? Than I do talking to you bitches beneath me. Because again, how many times the CEO actually come down and say a lot of words to you, Tom, but how often are you affected by what the CEO does, you know what I mean, to you, right? Like, that's like, stop talking so much. Not to say like, stop talking
I
understand this promos, but yeah.
But yeah, I just,
and it's prime thing. Why doesn't she have an executive assistant speaking for her or a public relations person? You know what I mean? Like,
I think,
you're the CEO. Here's my fucking,
I think we get, this is me, reckless speculation with no proof or anything. My guess is we're going to get Stokely, Chris Statlander, Willow Nightingale dissolve. Stokely looks for, well, who can I get? Mercedes is like, I ain't doing these fucking interviews. He goes, well, I'll do them for you. And that's where he fits in. Kind of does what he did with Jade Cargill, except for Jade Cargill can, or excuse me, Mercedes Moné can wrestle way more than Jade Cargill, so it's way more active.
I know you and I could write the biggest act around Mercedes Moné, the CEO, with Stokely Hathaway being the executive assistant, and everybody calls him her secretary, and he's like, executive assistant, and they're like, whatever, give me some coffee, and he's like, fuck you. Like,
do you want cream?
Great. Yeah, exactly. Like, it was so great.
Two creams? Yeah.
Damn. Starbucks, right? Hey, fine.
Yeah.
God damn it, it'll be so good.
And then we get to our main
picture those
event.
Two on the fucking talk shows and shit. Like I'm saying, like, get them on the goddamn Fallon or whatever. Like, oh my God.
Well, side quest. We'll get to the main event in just a second. One other observation I had after watching WrestleMania and then watching Dynamite, and we talked about how one of AEW's biggest fault right now is local advertisement, right? You didn't even know the fucking show was here, and it was last night. What the fuck, right? Another thing, when you've got, and I know WrestleMania is a different beast, so let's not just say it's apples to apples. However, when you've got Prime Drink, Slim Jim, Domino's, Cricket Wireless, and then you go over to the other show and it's Woo Energy.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's a big drop off.
Yeah.
And that's where I would say someone else should go over there to help out old Tony Khan, because their advertising kind of stinks.
Well, that's it. I think, yeah, he's making a lot of head business decisions as a wrestling fan that I think one of the things that he needs to do is A, somebody needs to take the Twitter away from this guy. You know what I mean?
To a certain extent. I do like the, you want to talk shit on me? Fuck you. I'll talk shit back. You know,
right.
I do like that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe like, let's still have it running by some folks. Right. And be like, hold on, boss. Right. Yeah. Like, you know, hold on. Yeah. And then two, yeah, same thing. Like, you know, the Chiefs are very successful, right? Clark Hunt isn't the GM of the Chiefs, right? He's not picking the players. He has a general manager.
Yeah.
The best one ever, Brett Veach.
Well, he has two. Because he has Brett Veach to do the player evaluations and picking the players.
Yeah.
And then he has Mark Donovan to do all the advertisements and to sell the naming rights.
Right,
to
exactly, right.
So, like,
and that's what I mean. We need a little more delineation of duties, I think, from Tony Khan, if from my outside looking in view. And I think it would show up in things like that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, man, Woo Energy. And then you look at WrestleMania and it was
He thinks he's like, everybody loves Ric Flair. This is going to be a big deal. And anybody outside knows, we know Ric Flair and we like Ric Flair, but that's not going to make us like buy a Woo Energy drink. Like, it's not going to become a big thing.
And also, you know, if you have better sponsors with more visibility, you might get your wrestlers and their advertisements. Snickers, right? With the New Day, we saw that. You know what I mean? If Baby Ruth came to AEW and then all of a sudden we got Eddie Kingston, you're grumpy if you don't have a Baby Ruth. And he's like, well, I'm Yonkers or whatever. And then that's the commercial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Anyhow. We get to main event time. It's a title eliminator match. Excuse me. It's the AEW World Title Eliminator match. It is your world champion, Samoa Joe, taking on the other Rhodes, the natural Dustin Rhodes. And
here we got a Samoan versus a Rhodes. Stop me where you heard this before.
Right. And this is, you know, one thing, I believe it was 2015 when Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania 30. I think that was WrestleMania 30. Anyhow, we did WrestleMania 30 and it was Daniel Bryan. He's standing on top of the world. He's your champion. Isn't that awesome? And then you go over to TNA and Eric Young, who also is short, white, and with a beard, all of a sudden becomes your champion too. And it's like, and that's what this felt like, is a little too on the nose of like, and now Dustin gets a shot. Fuck off.
Exactly.
But again, this wasn't a world title match, to their credit, but man, we just...
It made me wonder. It was like, was this designed to catch like SEO things on Google? Was this designed to be like, you know what I mean? Rhodes and catch that and maybe like, and see that. Yeah.
But you know, for AEW, the audience is hyper online, right? More so than the WWE average fan. The AEW fan is hyper online, who's taking part of these conversations, who's obviously watching our podcast and listening to our podcast. Those people,
all of them,
are already knowing of Dustin and knowing, you know what I mean? So like, I think I do think there was certain of like, hey, you know, we can catch a wave on, is that Cody name? But come on, right? Come on. It's a little cheap.
Well, and it also made me think, it was like, is Dustin Rhodes out the door and they're getting their last, you know, appearances out of him or something? Like, I don't know.
To the best of my knowledge, I think he teaches the women in AEW, or it's Kenny Omega, but I thought he had some... Anyhow, that's just me speaking kind of recklessly. But in this match, Samoa Joe wears Dustin around like a hat, and he beats his ass, and we get blood, we get all the fun stuff. Samoa Joe wins. But then here comes Prince Nana and Swerve Strickland. And then we get a fight. Fight, 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 fight. And we leave our episode with Swerve Strickland holding the title belt. Tim, we're going to be doing our picks as we get closer to the pay-per-view. But is that foreshadowing?
I feel like it should be. Now, whether or not we will, I mean, that's booking decisions and we'll have more time to tell. But, like, I feel like now is the time, especially with the wave of all the shit talking and all the whatever. It's like, let's deliver good on the good storylines and the wrestling and the product. And everybody's mm-hmm. behind Swerve. If it's one of those where I feel like, remember when Orange Cassidy was white, fucking hot, and I was like, you should do it now. Because, mm-hmm. like, even if he still is cool and we all love him, it's like, it's not going to be like this right now where people are breaking open windows to fucking see the guy, right?
Right.
So I think it's time. And Samoa Joe can take that. It's not going to hurt the Samoa Joe character in any way. It would only help the Swerve character, and not doing it could probably cause damage. So I would do it now.
Yeah, honestly, another good example would be when Zack Ryder was on top of the world, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden Kane's throwing him off stages and John Cena's taking his girl, or his girl leaves him for John Cena and all that stuff. And it's like, eesh. And then he was never really the same after that.
Right.
He had to drop, but
he had to be Matt Cardona then. He had to go and leave and be like, no, I'm not that anymore. He literally had to say Zack Ryder is dead.
Yeah.
So
I think there's, again, I don't think he'll have that significant of a fall off, but I do think you need to, I think you need to get Swerve the title and then a blood feud to end the blood feud. Hangman, Swerve Strickland, one-on-one at one of these pay-per-views or named Dynamites. And then look, I'm conceding that everyone wants Will Ospreay at Wembley.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not get, you know, people who are hearing Swerve Strickland on Jacksonville Jag games. Let's get your, anyhow, I'm being mean because I like Swerve more than I like Ospreay. But I do like Ospreay because look.
Bruv.
Yeah. Look at that. That's how we ended our episode, and that was an eventful AW Dynamite. I saw someone who gives these percentages of how well they liked AW Dynamite, and this fucking nerd, Ollie something of Wrestle Talk, said that this was a 20%. Because, and to you, Ollie, I say, you are a fuckboy.
Interesting. Theo P said, I hated WWE for a while after what they did to Zack Ryder. It did mm-hmm. feel like that was purposeful, right? Like, that's, you know, it felt like it was like, no, you can't do that here, right? Like, you can't get yourself over.
Yeah.
And we're going to show you. And Sil says, I like Swerve and Ospreay similar. Yeah, man, I did not expect coming out the gate when Ospreay showed up that I would this quickly think like, oh shit, this might be one of my favorite dudes right now. He's really on fire right now and I'm excited, but so is Swerve. And I think like Swerve put in that work. He's still on fire. Hasn't gotten it yet. Let's get there. And again, we've worked ways where we could bounce it around between them both, right? For several months, right? Where they're like the three of them, Hangman, Swerve and Ospreay, just kind of have each other's number at some certain times. Right. I wouldn't hate that either. So, man, we talked about so much, Tom. Fucking Swerve joining us over there. See, you should be watching the YouTube podcast listeners.
I'm just saying, if you want to expand your audience, in my opinion, everyone who knows Will Ospreay is already watching Dynamite. People who act and look and are interested in the things that Swerve Strickland are into may not be watching AEW.
Right. But they might give it a chance.
They would give it a chance because representation is important. Oh.
That's true. Well, with that, we will leave you next week. If you found us first time this week, we hope you'll stick around. Reminder, go to alleliterapup.com. We've got all the links you'll need there. You can contact us at aerapup@gmail.com. Voice, text, audio, send it to us. We'll play it here, and we will answer your questions right here next week when we come back for another edition of the All Elite Wrap-Up.